that airs the second Saturday of every month. It's hosted by Gateway IT instructor Christine Lazaro and Gateway IT graduate Dave Snedeker.
Good morning, everyone. So it's been a crazy and busy last couple of months, and I want to apologize to my listeners for being absent. The May show, the April show got repeated because of a lot of stuff that was going on. And then May, holy smokes, between the end of the semester at Gateway and my school at going for my master's, I think I mentioned I'm going for my master's degree. I also had to take a Gateway class right after the end of the semester, so it was just absolutely crazy. But I'm back, and so I thought, when I was thinking about what we wanted to do for this month, I thought I would share with you all some of the things that I did for my master's classes. Primarily, I mean, they're technology related. I had to learn a lot more software tools and had to create a couple of websites. And so I thought I would share with you a little bit of that. But before I get into that, let's talk a little bit about some of the news that was going on this month. Obviously, we've got some new stuff coming out of Apple. And one of the biggest announcements that I thought was a little on the interesting side is Apple is going to start its own streaming music service. I mean, obviously, Apple is very, very, very popular and well known for iTunes. Many of you, I'm sure, purchase a lot of your downloadable music from the iTunes store. iTunes has also got a lock on the TV show The Voice, which I've never been a particular, I'm not going to say, fan. It's not that I liked it or didn't like it. I just didn't really watch it. But it captured my attention this particular season and my heart because I fell in love with Sawyer Fredericks and thought, oh my goodness, what a wonderful voice. I don't use iTunes, try to stay away from it, but let me tell you, I was really, really close because I wanted to download some of his music. So I don't use iTunes. Sorry, I just don't. But I thought it was interesting when I started reading about the new streaming service that they've got lined up. And what I thought was the most interesting is that they're going to charge. There's a couple of other services out there. I use Pandora, which is free, but you do have ads. I can put up with a few ads. It's no worse than regular free commercial radio. The other one does, and I can't remember the name of it. Hang on a second and let me look real quick. Oh, duh, of course it's Spotify. So anyway, Pandora's free, Spotify does charge, and now the new Apple streaming service is going to charge. What do you get for the charge? No commercials. Other than that, I'm not completely sure. It's $9.99 a month for an individual and $14.99 for a family for five devices, and ouch, that's a little bit much. I'm not sure why anybody would pay that. I mean, what's the big deal, right? I mean, sure, there's these live DJs and, they'll have your playlists and you'll unlock all of the music on iTunes, but you sort of kind of get that already with Pandora. So I don't know, maybe I'm missing something, but there it is. Second thing that we wanted to talk about, and by the way, our next month's show, our July show, I'm going to spend a lot more time on this. Windows 10 is coming out July 29th. And right now, if you have Windows 7 with Service Pack 1 and Windows 8.1, you can get Windows 10 for free starting July 29th, and you will have a whole year to get it. So you can wait a little bit and see how some other people feel about it. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail with Windows 10 right now because I want to spend more time. It's a lot longer than I want to spend time today on discussing that. And my next show will still be in time for you to be able to decide if you really want to upgrade right away on July 29th or you do want to wait a little bit. You may have noticed if you are running Windows 7 with Service Pack 1 and you're all updated and everything, or Windows 8.1, you may have noticed a new icon on the lower right-hand corner of your desktop. And if you click on that icon, it'll allow you to basically subscribe, if you will, to that free update and it'll ha that free upgrade, and it'll happen automatically if you want to do it. If you don't have that icon and you know right now you want to upgrade to Windows 10, you can. There's an article on CNET. Just go in and Google missing Windows 10 upgrade icon, and you can find that article and it'll walk you through. I will tell you that these steps they're not necessarily easy. I mean, they're good steps. It's pretty well detailed on how to do it, but you do have to do a little command line work. So you have to open a command prompt window and you have to run a little bitty batch file. It's not that difficult if you follow the instructions, but some non-real good comfortable computer users may find it a little challenging. Again, if you want to wait until the next show in July, then we'll go into that in a little bit more detail. And in the meantime, I will have tested Windows 10, put it through its paces, and I'll let you know. You don't have to take my word for it, okay? You can still wait until more people are testing it. But right now, from what I've seen and played with, I tell you, I'm excited to upgrade because there's some really cool stuff, and the start menu is back. That's the biggest thing. So we'll talk more about that next month with Windows 10. Other big story, of course, is the Chinese, supposedly it was the Chinese, at least that's who our government thinks it was, hacked into all of the federal employees' accounts and got all kinds of personal information. And let me tell you, this scares me to death. I have been saying for months now that the biggest thing that we need to be concerned about in a lot of respects is a cyber war. There's so much that we do on the internet and that involves internet technologies that if it really, and I may be being paranoid and all of that kind of stuff, but there is, definitely a real risk with all of the internet technologies that we use. And I hope to God that our government is paying attention and is starting to, our government and companies, utility companies, et cetera, and they're starting to, put a heck of a lot more security on all of that stuff. Because, if you just think about if the internet goes down, it takes away our financial services. We can't use our ATM machines anymore. We can't, I mean, how many of you use the internet to access your bank accounts and pay bills? And I don't, I think I write maybe at the most 5 checks a year these days, and that's a real, real rarity because everything is my ATM card. It could literally shut us down royally. So that's pretty scary, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in the coming weeks with, that whole thing. Is that the shot across the bow, so to speak, where, hey, we're warning you that, we can do this, and let's keep an eye on that. Problem is that there's just so many, dark groups out there between the Chinese and the Russian and this one and that one that it could be really scary. But enough. I don't want to, I mean, it's Saturday, let's not scare everybody to death, right? All of a sudden we're all going to be panicking and taking our money out of the banks and putting it in our mattresses again, and we don't want to do that. So let's go on to some more fun stuff. I don't know if it's fun. But anyway, I was busy. I was extremely, extremely, extremely busy the last few weeks. My term at school just ended. I did my last assignment yesterday. Yay. And let me tell you, my head literally got hot from all of the brain work I was doing. The big majority of what I had to do, my two big semester projects, if you will. I had to create two different websites. I could have done it on one, but given the parameters of what I had to do, I wound up doing two different websites. And one of the classes, the reason that we did the website was because it's an easy place to deliver what we needed to do. The one class was called Internet for Educators, and we had to discover internet technologies to deliver coursework and course content to students. The other one was called Web-Based Web Design, and for that one, we had to use a web-based web design site. In other words, rather than using HTML and JavaScript and PHP and all of that kind of stuff, we had to go out to the web to create our website. So I thought I would talk about that a little bit, because there are some entrepreneurs in our audience, in our listening audience, and there are also, you know, small business owners. And maybe you need a website or you've been wanting to do a new website. And so you might want to consider using one of these services. And the two that I used, and prior to these courses, I had no experience whatsoever with either one, but I used Wix and Weebly. And you may be familiar with Wix because Brett Favre was, you know, schlepping for one of those sites, and you saw the Super Bowl commercial with that, and there have been a couple of other celebrities, so to speak, who have also been advertising for them, and so they've gotten a little, I mean, they've been running quite a few commercials, and interestingly, before the class, I hadn't paid much attention to them. But, you know, once you start using something, you listen to, you know, you hear the commercial, you see the commercial, and you're like, oh, yeah, there it is. And you don't, and then you begin to realize how often the commercials have been running. So I use both Wix and Weebly. And let me first talk a little bit about a web-based website design tool. They certainly don't have a lock on the market, Wix or Weebly. They'll probably a couple of the more commonly known ones now because of the advertising. But basically, when you use a web-based website builder, it's kind of a drag and drop sort of thing. You sign up for it, and both of them, by the way, are free. But the free offerings, when you do the free site, you're limited as to, you know, how much you can do. If you pay for it, they host your site. You can get your own site name, and you get some of the tools are then unlocked. There's a lot more offering as far as what they have. But you don't really need to know any programming. You don't need to know any HTML. You just simply say, okay, I want a text box here. I want a heading here. I want, you know, to pop an image. I want to pop a video. If you want a forum, they have forums so that people can post on there. They all use, you know, you can embed Google Maps to show people where your store is. Fairly easy to use, but when I say easy, that, you know, it's a relative term, right? Because I will tell you that if you're going to build yourself a website, have an idea first off of what goes into a good website so you know how to place things. I know one of my first pages, y'all know me, I'm pretty wordy, right? Can get a little verbose at times. And so one of the critiques was too much text on your site. People don't want to read that much on a website. Break it up a little bit. So I had to, you know, kind of go back in and put in some subtitles and break things up into more palatable paragraphs. It is, I will also say, pretty helpful if you do have a basic understanding of web page terminology so that you know what you want on your web page. I'm not saying you have to know necessarily HTML, but you might want to pick up a good web page building for dummies kind of a book so you understand that, say, for example, you know, what a menu is and what a course link is and bookmarks within the page. So if you want to have, you know, a menu at the top, you know, if you have a long page and you want to have a menu at the top to get to different points, one of the services calls them anchors, and then you can link to an anchor within your site. So it is helpful to understand it. I guess what I'm trying to say is if you have no experience whatsoever with building a website and all you've ever done is looked at websites on the web, you want to get a little bit more knowledgeable before you start building your website. Both of the services, both of the companies, Wix and Weebly, have some pretty nice tutorials. So once you view those tutorials, you can get going. There's also tons and tons of YouTube videos out there to explain it. So it's not that difficult to do. I think for me, the most challenging thing, and of course, I've built websites with HTML and JavaScript and all of that and programming behind the scenes. The hardest part for me is that I lack visual creativity tremendously. And so trying to make those websites fun to look at was, you know, I'm great with words and I can, you know, put words on there, but trying to make it look a little bit artistic and, you know, and not all boring and drab, that was the hardest part for me. But I got through it and they're not a bad site. I'd give you the web addresses, but if you really, really want to know and you want to look at my websites, drop me an email at lazaroc@gtc.edu, and I will be more than happy to give you the two links to my websites. But I'm going to caution you that unless you're in education, they're going to be very, very, very boring because that was the focus of both of them. So enough about Wix and Weebly. Oh, one last thing, not to necessarily do a shameless plug for Gateway, but I do need to do it, and this is a good point to do it. If you are looking to have a website, you've got a small business and you want a website, and you don't want to mess with it yourself, but you don't have a whole heck of a lot of money to pay a fancy schmancy website builder, do keep in mind here at Gateway, we have a neat little thing that we offer. It's a service, and we have it in Racine, Kenosha, and Elkhorn. It's called BizSquad, BizSquad. And the neat thing about BizSquad is it's a win-win for everyone in that our students from our various different programs get together and can create actual products for, you know, small businesses to help out the community. And that can include everything from a website to letterhead, business cards, logos, business plans. We take students from our web developer program. We take them from our marketing program, our accounting program, and it's a really, really neat service. So definitely think about contacting BizSquad if you've got that need. So, okay. Anyway, on to some of the other tools. And so the next thing I want to talk about is along the lines of creating my websites and creating some of the content, I needed to create a couple of videos. And I also I always create videos, not always, but I have created quite a few videos, tutorials for my coursework when I couldn't find an appropriate or applicable one. But specifically for these two sites, I had to create video. And I'm very familiar with Camtasia, and I've used that a lot to do screencasts, you know, screen captures and demonstrations and things like that. But these videos had a little bit of a different focus. And so I wanted to see how to add some oomph to my videos. And one of the things I was really interested in is what they call whiteboard sketches. you might have seen a few videos or even commercials where you've got this, hand with a pen that writes on a whiteboard, on a video, writes text, or draws a little cartoon character or something like that. So I wanted to experiment and play with that, and it was really kind of interesting. I discovered three different tools and I played with all of them. The first one, and there's more than these three, but these were the three that I looked at. The first one I looked at was called VideoScribe, and I really did like VideoScribe, but it's pricey. It's got two different price plans. One is a subscription. You can subscribe for a month, you can subscribe for a year, and then to buy it outright, really gets very pricey. I think it was like $600 or something like that. Way too much for what I was looking at. There is a 7-day free trial, so you can, play with it for 7 days and see how you like it. And it, as I said, it's pretty cool, pretty easy to use. Where I got a little frustrated was when I wanted to. Basically, what it does is it makes like a slideshow or animates a slideshow. And so you can move from one slide to another. They don't call it slides, they call it something else. But you can, have an image and it'll sketch out the image, and you can put in text and it'll write the text. Variety of hands, variety of pens, kind of a pretty cool little thing. The second one I looked at was, and these next two have a little bit more in common, and that's where it got really kind of interesting. The second one I looked at was called Explaindio, Explaindio. And one of the things that I really liked about Explaindio is you could have an image morph into another image. And that was really, really neat because it gave animation and almost made it like a cartoon. So you could take, for example, I had one, I think it was, no, Explaindio I never even used. I purchased it and I played with it a little bit, but I didn't like it. VideoScribe had the morphing. I'm sorry. VideoScribe had the morphing, and that was really cool. I took had one image where I had a girl and she looked all, depressed and disappointed, and then she morphed into a happy girl, and it was just really kind of cool the way that whole thing worked. And for that reason, I would have subscribed to VideoScribe, but like, or bought it, but as I said, at $600, it was a little much. Explaindio was more about sketching on a video, and I didn't even use. I mean, I tried playing with it, but I didn't even make a video because I really, really didn't care for it at all. Somebody else that is more into marketing, and these last two, the Explaindio and the last one I'm going to talk about, they're really geared for people that are trying to market a product. And that's why I said for those entrepreneurs out there that are selling products, these are right up your alley because that's essentially what these are doing is so, you want to create a little, your own little commercial that you're going to put up on YouTube to discuss your product. That's what they're really, really great for. Explaindio is more video, geared towards video rather than the whiteboarding that I wanted to do. The last one and the one that I did purchase and I did stick with is called Easy Sketch Pro. And for somebody who's not very artistic and didn't want to, spend a lot of time learning how to, and believe me, I can pick up software pretty quick, but it was more of a that artistic creative marketing kind of a thing that I didn't want to have to, play with a whole lot. I really liked the Easy Sketch Pro product. It was, if I remember correctly, $29. Comes with a limited number of images, but what's kind of cool is you can bring in your own images. And it'll sketch those images out and then, full-fledged image. What I thought was the most interesting about the two, and I'm going to caution you about this, if you purchase either one, and neither one has a trial, but they will refund, no questions asked. And I did get a refund, and it didn't, I mean, it was only 3 days, and I got my refund. So, and again, it was no questions asked. But both of them, you will get inundated with marketing emails once you purchase these. And it starts to feel somewhat like a kind of a pyramid scheme, because and if you Google either one, if you Google Easy Sketch Pro and you Google Explaindio, you're going to find all of these different sites where here you buy this and then you can get this. And I learned some marketing terminology too. One of them was OTO, one-time offer. And so when you purchase them, you're going to get inundated with these one-time offers. And basically, those one-time offers are these bonus packs for more images, more backgrounds, more music, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Don't get caught up into that sort of thing. You know, just otherwise, you're going to wind up spending, you know, $200-$300 on, you know, this product that initially only cost you $29. But the major reason I'm bringing them up, if you do create videos, especially, you know, commercial, you know, you create your own commercial videos, or those of you that are educators that are listening, if you create tutorials for your students, definitely take a look at Easy Sketch Pro. Look at the VideoScribe first, you know, take advantage of the 7-day free trial and take a look at what a product like that can add to your videos, because it really is kind of cool. And the reason that I wanted to, you know, look at those is because so much of the students today, you know, they want that, you know, fun little extra oomph. They're into that, that exciting, you know, sizzle sort of thing. And both of those products can add a little bit more fun to your videos. And, I think that the VideoScribe gives a bit more, has a bit more functionality, quite a bit more bells and whistles than the Easy Sketch Pro, especially the ability to morph a couple of images and almost give some animation. The couple of others that are kind of worth looking at, there's one called Powtoons, Powtoons. Part of the reason why I decided not to go with that one, I was looking specifically for that whiteboard sketching, you know, with the hand and the writing and all that. Powtoons is a little too cartoonish for me. That was the major reason why I didn't go with that one. And I cannot remember what the other one's name, it'll come to me, but it's not that important. And it was kind of the same thing. It was a little bit, just didn't really do what I wanted. The Easy Sketch Pro really truly wound up, being my cup of tea. And VideoScribe, you know, as I said, you know, I'll keep an eye on it. And if the price ever comes down and if it becomes a little bit more reasonable, or, you know, they start doing an academic pricing, that one I'll definitely look back at, because and if I were making marketing types of videos, I would definitely look at VideoScribe more. It's a bit more professional, a little bit more challenging to use when your images start going a little bit more into it, where Easy Sketch Pro I thought was easier to learn out of the gate. So a couple of tools for, you know, more technology tools. Okay. Next month, again, we'll talk a little bit more about Windows 10, and everybody have a great rest of the month. Thanks.
You've been listening to Technology Matters with hosts Christine Lazzaro and Dave Snedeker.
Join us Saturday at 11:15 for a live broadcast of the Radio Theater from Geneva Lake Museum. It's a murder mystery that salutes Orson Welles and historic locations around the city. Admission is free for museum members. A $5 charge for non-members includes exhibit access. Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring Sherwood's Fabulous Fudge. 28 flavors, including cherry almond, banana bliss, dark cherry chocolate, and root beer float. Kenosha Harbor Market opens Saturdays from 9 to 2 on 2nd Avenue in Plaza Duay. This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin.